We're reading in Joshua chapter 8 this morning. And if you would look with me at verse 5, in the middle of the story we read, the account we read last week of finally overcoming Ai by the power of God when they had been defeated in the past at Ai. And we read this as Joshua is giving instruction. God has told Joshua what to do and what God will do. And in verse 5 of Joshua 8, Joshua says, I and all the people that are with me will approach unto the city. And it shall come to pass when they come out against us. Underline that in your mind. When they come out against us, as at the first, that we will flee before them. And then underline the next phrase in verse 6. For they will come out after us till we have drawn them from the city. For they will say they flee before us as at the first. Therefore we will flee before them. Then ye shall rise up from the ambush and seize upon the city. And underline the next phrase in your mind as well. For the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. Would you pray with me as we preach on this thought? The Lord, your God, will deliver the victory into your hand. Father, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you. Oh God, that you have our hearts, Lord, as your concern in our lives, as your concern. And God, your being glorified through our lives is in your heart this morning. Father, you see every life and every situation and every battle. You see all things and you care about the tiniest things and you care about the hugest things. And you are greater than all. And oh God, often we don't see you for how great you are. We see the enemy. Lord, we see the battle. We see the mountains and the impossibilities. And the past failures at times, Lord, and they become in our mind so large when they are much larger than us, but they are just a pebble on the beach to you, God. Help us to see this morning, by the time we're done, through eyes of faith, that the battle is not ours, it is the Lord's. Help us to commit all to you and trust you and go forward, knowing that the battle that each one of us is facing is not to be fought by us personally, but by the Lord Jesus Christ within us and through us in our behalf. And God, we give you the praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. There were three phrases that I asked you to underline as we read through this. The first one said, for they will come out against us. Or the second one actually said that. The first one said, when they come against you. As I read that, as I read it last week, preparing for last Sunday's message, I knew as I read over it, there's a message there as well. Joshua says, we are going out and we are going to take, and God is going to fight for us. We are going to take what God has promised us, what God has given unto us, given to us through the promises he gave to our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all the way up through Moses, and now up to me. He has promised this land to us. And we were defeated, and there was a reason. And God has helped us to get that reason resolved. And now we're going to march to victory. We are going to go in, and God has promised to give us the city of Ai, just as he gave us the city of Jericho. And as we go to fight against this city, Joshua makes a couple of side comments that are not side comments to us at all. When he says, when they come against us, and when he says, for they will come out against us. Can I tell you that as a child of God, if you and I are serious about serving God, we have an adversary. And it is not if he might happen to fight us, he will come against us. He does come against us. We will be fought. If you are serious about walking with Jesus, the enemy hates that. Amen. He sees Christ in you, the hope of your glory. Amen. The hope of the glory that you will experience in heaven, really. And he sees Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he says, I hate you. I cannot directly fight against Jesus, but I'm going to fight you. I do not want you to serve God. I do not want you to have peace and joy. I do not want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I do not want you to experience the victory that God has given you in Jesus Christ. I do not want you to one day cross over into heaven and spend eternity with God. I have been cast out of there, Satan says, because of my sin, and my whole aim is to take everyone else with me to where I am going. Jesus spoke about a place called hell that was prepared for the devil and his angels who left heaven and lost their estate because they rebelled against God. The only aim that Satan has now is to make lives miserable and hinder anyone and everyone he can from making it into God's heaven. And thank God we don't make it by our own strength and our own power. We make it by the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible said in Revelation, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth because Satan has come out against you knowing that he has such a short time. But it goes on and says, and they overcame him. They is us. Amen. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame him by that blood that Jesus shed on Calvary's cross. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. This book is the word of our testimony. Jesus said we overcame Satan by the blood he shed on Calvary's cross and by the word that he has given us, the sword of the Spirit. I'm here to tell you this morning that you and I can overcome, and we must take what God has given us and overcome. And in God's heart and mind, you have overcome because the blood's already been shed. The word has already been spoken. We just need to stay under the blood and live according to the word. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. When they come against you, it's not if. Now, we need to take that phrase then and understand it is a given. We are in a warfare. Amen. Unless, God forbid, we just decide to lay down our arms and give up, throw in the towel and go back to the old sin and the old mess and the old defeat. Unless we choose that, we're in a warfare. Amen? We are in a battle. The enemy will come out against us. Now, I want you to think with me about something. When Joshua is telling the children of Israel this, he doesn't say, you all will be sitting in your tents, twiddling your thumbs, minding your business, doing nothing for God, and the enemy from Ai is going to come out and attack you and slaughter you all. No. No. He didn't say that. I want you to think about not only when the enemy would come, right? In other words, he will come. But I want you to think about why the enemy came against them. The enemy came against them because they became a threat to the enemy. They were inhabiting the land that God had given to his people. If you ever wonder who Israel belongs to, don't wonder. Amen. God Almighty says, I've given it to the Jewish people. Amen. When all the reckoning is done, guess who's going to own the entire land of Israel? Guess who's going to rule and reign out of Jerusalem? And guess who's going to be with him if we continue on with Jesus, you and I. Amen. Hey, I've read the back of the book and we win. But I want you to think with me about the fact that it wasn't that Ai came against them because they were doing nothing. Ai came against them because they dared to believe that they could go in against Ai and take the city. Now you say they were taking something that didn't belong to them. No, God gave it to them. The people of Ai, as were all the Canaanites, were wicked, ungodly people who for centuries had refused to heed the voice and the voice of God and the need to repent and get right, continued in their sin. And God said, I'm going to take this land from you and give it to my people. Amen. These are the enemies of God's people. These are the people who would just as soon see all of God's people annihilated. But they came against Israel because Israel came against them. Do you understand that the Christian walk is not supposed to be a walk in which we're no threat to the devil? In fact, we're just struggling every day to keep our head above water, and we're defeated and we're wondering if we're going to make it from one day to the next, and we're not able to ever touch any lives because we're just barely hanging on by the skin of our teeth. And so, you know, and that's what some people think Christian living is all about. But the reality is that if you and I get a hold of what Christianity really is all about, if you and I get a hold in our hearts through our relationship with Jesus Christ of what He has done for us on the cross of Calvary and who He can and will be through us, and we actually fully live the victory He's given us in Christ, we are a threat to Him. It's Him that's shaking in His boots. It's Him. It's the enemy and his cohorts that are trembling, that are afraid, that are wondering what's going to happen if the people of God begin to really understand who they are and what they have in Jesus Christ. And they begin to live in victory and they have power and authority, or they realize they have power and authority over me, and they live holy by the grace of God, and they come treading where I am. You know, I like the little thing I read that says, I want to be the kind of Christian that when I get up in the morning, the devil says, oh no, he just woke up. Or, oh no, she just got up. I'm in trouble now. That's the kind of Christian I want to be and can be. Holy and pure and on fire and full of the Holy Ghost and walking in the light of the Word of God and a threat to the kingdom of hell every day because we have Jesus in our soul ruling in our lives, and everywhere we go, people are going to be touched. You say, oh, that's a pipe dream. That can never happen. Jesus didn't die on the cross for a pipe dream. Jesus didn't tell us that we are through Him that loved us more than conquerors just to hear Himself say words. No, He said it because it's true. And He died on the cross so that we can live in victory. He died so we can live. He rose to life by the power which He will vest in us. Resurrection power to live this Christian life. Let me tell you something. Anything victorious that we are living is not because we're such brilliant people, such capable individuals. You know, the devil says, look at you. You've never done anything right.
Look at you, you this and you that. You're just a failure. You'll never amount to anything. You know why the devil tells you that kind of stuff? Because he knows that if you get a hold, he can use it, right, to get to you for one. And he knows that if you get a hold of who you are in Jesus Christ, the past doesn't mean a hill of beans, a pail of beans, is what I was trying to say. It doesn't amount to anything. Amen? He knows that if you come to understand not who you are, but who you are when you are tied up, tangled up with Jesus, who Christ is, then you are going to be a threat to his kingdom. The people of Ai came against Israel because Israel was a threat to them. Amen? Listen, I don't want to be a part of anything the devil wouldn't fight. Right? I want everything I do to be a threat to the kingdom of hell. I want my life to be an ongoing threat, which means I want to face battles. Or at least I'm going to. I might as well be prepared and geared to. But those battles don't have to overcome you and I, like maybe they sometimes do. It doesn't have to stay that way. Now, can I tell you why the enemy fights? What is it he doesn't want to happen? I really said it, but I'm going to break it down into two very simple things. The devil does not want you and me to serve the Lord. Amen? Truly serve the Lord. And number two, the devil does not want you and I to be involved in saving the lost. It's about serving the Lord and saving the lost. Amen? At least in the devil's mind, at least if you're saved, he wasn't able to prevent that, and maybe he can't even stop you from staying with Jesus. If he can stop you from affecting anyone else, he still feels like he's got quite a bit of victory. Because a life sold out, laid down, consumed by Jesus Christ, full of the Holy Ghost, becomes a threat to the kingdom of hell. And will make a difference, amen, in people following Jesus or not. The devil can't stand that idea. Now let me tell you something. It's important we understand the adversary that we face. It's important we recognize that in the natural, we are no match for him. He is far more powerful than us. That's why people who are Christian people sometimes find themselves in a place where they say, I don't understand it. I can't seem to stop what the devil's doing. I have great intentions and I can't seem to stop it. It's because you are no match for him. Amen? But that ain't the end of the story. Jesus wants to get a hold of you where Jesus, through you, turns the tables completely. Because Satan is no match for Jesus and for Jesus in you. Amen? Now why does the devil fight so hard? And what's he after? And let me take it further so we know it's about you serving the Lord. It's about souls being saved. But I want you to think about it like this too. Why is it, as we come to understand the enemy, what he's up to, why is it really that everybody in the whole wide world doesn't instantly leave behind the old life and turn completely to Christ? Why doesn't everyone run to Jesus right now? Why don't they hear his name and run to him? Why don't they surrender all to him? Why is it that all across this country, the vast majority of people are not serving Jesus? When everybody has the opportunity to hear of him, where there's the Bible is found everywhere. Amen? What is it that prevents everyone, you know, on the planet from dropping everything and running to Christ? And surrendering all to him and living for him with all their heart from now until he comes and spending eternity with him. There are really only two reasons that that doesn't happen. The two reasons are given to us in the Bible. One, men love darkness. Human beings love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. People don't want to turn from their sin. And they know if I run to Jesus, I got to give up my sin. They don't understand. They will gain the Savior. Amen? So one reason is because men love darkness. The other reason is because Satan blinds eyes. Satan blinds eyes. The Bible tells us that if the gospel is hidden, it is hidden to those who believe not. And it speaks and says that the devil has blinded their hearts and minds lest they would see the glorious light of the gospel and be saved. You wonder why there's such hatred arising even in what is called a Christian nation, really no longer is, but even in this nation there is such hatred arising against Christians. Oh, you can give every reason you want to give. It's very simple. Two reasons. Men love sin. And two, Satan blinds eyes. If they could see as things really are, amen, and if they would turn from their sin, they would run to Jesus. Everyone would run to Jesus. Here's the point. You and I know the truth. You and I know that if there's anyone not following Christ, it's because of sin and Satan. You and I know that Christ is more powerful than sin, and He is more powerful than Satan. You and I know that we don't have to stay where somebody else is or where we've been. You and I know that victory is ours in Christ. Let's get running! Like a young man in Bible school with me used to say, feet don't fail me now. I'm running on for the Lord. That's the old song we used to sing says, I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, on my way to glory, and I'm running for my life. Yeah. Amen. Running for and with Jesus. We may know the whole world needs to run to Christ, and we don't have words that will convince them to do so. But we know the one that we can follow and serve. And He can give us what we need to influence those in our world for Christ. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. The enemy does not want us to serve the Lord and be involved in the salvation of souls. But I don't care what the enemy doesn't want. I'm going to serve Him anyhow. I'm going to work and labor with everything He gives me the strength to do to help others to serve Him anyhow. I'm going to keep preaching by the grace of God, the truth of His Word that illuminates the path and shows people the way of life that they might know and see the truth. By the grace of God, I will not compromise the truth of the victory that we have in Christ over sin and Satan. And some folks are going to take a hold and embrace it because it isn't my word. It's God Almighty's word. Amen. And some folks are going to take it and run with it. And they're going to affect others for Jesus. Can you say amen? Our enemy is Satan. But our strength is God. Now, can I tell you, sometimes we know this up here, and sometimes we got to get it. Let the Lord help us get it right here. We got to respond from our hearts and let the Lord put it inside. Amen. Let it settle down deep inside. And can I tell you a few things we do often, knowing the truth? Three things that sometimes we do. We often give in too easily. Amen? We often give in too easily. As though we don't already have the victory given to us through what Christ did for us on the cross. You know, when Jesus made these three words, this statement, right before he gave up the ghost and gave up his life on the cross, right before he died, he said these three words, "It is finished." Not only meaning the debt of sin, the only thing that kept us from God, the debt of sin is paid in full, but also meaning that everything that we need to deal with this issue of sin, to live the Christian life, to grow in the sanctification and honor before God, to overcome every Ai and Jericho in the path and walk with Jesus on into the promised land. Everything that we need was provided for us in that finished work on the cross. Complete and total victory. Amen. Complete forgiveness. Completely everything we need was accomplished there. And we can live in it and walk in it. Not just because we know that, but also because we get to know intimately the one who can live it through our lives. I sometimes hear people say things like, you know, when people are defeated, I know they just need to know the truth. If I can just tell them and get them to know some truth that may be very true, then that's going to solve everything. Well, knowing a truth by itself without coming to intimately know the truth giver is only half of the story. We've got to be intimate with Jesus. Because if we're not, if we don't become intimate with Him, then who and what are we intimate with? And where are we living? Amen? We've got to get intimate with Christ and go deep with Christ. Because our God is our strength. We often give in too easily. We often give up too quickly. Amen? Somebody said, I've tried before. What's the use? I'm giving up. There's no use. Any time of giving up is too quickly. I don't care if you've struggled 10 times or 10,000 times. Amen? There's going to be that time where it clicks who Jesus is and what He's done. And you're, as you're seeking Him, there's going to be that time where the intimacy with Christ leads you so simply and sweetly out of what's been defeating you and into victory in Christ. You're going to say, thank God I didn't give up. Because giving up is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. Can you say amen? But often we give up in a particular battle too quickly. And ever giving up is too quickly. And lastly, we often give up ground too easily. Amen? We give up ground. We've gained in prayer, supplication. We've seen the Lord working. We're not all the way there yet, but He's at work as we're seeking Him. But then we get disheartened, we get discouraged. We sit down, we give up the ground we've gained. The good news is, it still doesn't stop God from working. Get back on His back and let Him carry you through the warfare. And He'll turn it all around. Can you say amen? Now, I want you to look with me at verse 26 of this chapter of Joshua 8. And I want you to see that they didn't give in too easily. They didn't give up too quickly. They didn't give ground too readily. They didn't give any at all. Verse 26 of chapter 8 says this. Let's read verse 25 first. And so it was that all that fell that day, both of men and women, were 12,000, even all the men of Ai, because Joshua drew not his hand back wherewith he stretched out the spear. Earlier in the passage, you'll see that God said, stretch out your spear, and that's when the people are to attack and come in the ambush against the people of Ai. And it says that they overcame completely, defeated all the men of Ai, because Joshua drew not his hand back wherewith he stretched out his spear until he had utterly destroyed all of the inhabitants of Ai. Brothers and sisters, don't give up. Don't give in. Don't lay down your arms. Don't give any ground to Satan, but hold on to the sword of the Lord. Amen. In this case, call it a spear. The spear or the sword of the Word of God. Hold on to Jesus' hand and keep on holding. Hold on to the promises of God's Word and keep on holding. And don't stop holding until you have utterly destroyed every one of the inhabitants of your Ai, because the devil will fight against you and the devil will try to turn you aside, but Jesus has already won, and the Lord will come on the scene and will fight for you. And as the scripture says, the Lord will deliver the city of Ai into your hands. Child of God, would you stand with me to your feet? I don't know what it means when you're preaching so strong that you can't even catch your breath, but I think it's good. Amen. Oh, let's stretch our hands in sweet surrender toward the Holy Ghost, toward the Lord our God. Let's give Him praise. Let's give Him glory. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Lord, we're not going to be like those who don't know. We know. Lord, we know because we've seen who you are and what you've done. We know because your word is preached and read by us, and we know what it says. We know because you've made it real to us. Even if there's more of you that we need, Lord, and more that we need from you, Lord, most importantly, more of you that we need. Lord, we know that victory is ours. And Lord, God, we're going to keep on keeping on. You will deliver the enemy into our hands. Help us, Lord, by your grace, to hold up the spear until the victory is ours. Help us to stay on our face before you. Help us to accept no satanic compromise of righteousness and godliness. No compromise of the victory that you've given us in Christ. Help us not to make any